Okay. All right, just a little clip there. So let's just pray. Father, we just pray, Lord, as we open your word this morning, Father, that you'll speak to us. Father, that you want to change us, Lord. You want us to grow us, Lord. You want us to have renewed minds, Father. You want us thinking according to your patterns of heaven, Father. You want us to set our mind on the things of Christ. And so, Father, as we open our word, the word this morning, we just pray that you speak to us, Lord, and work within our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that clip you saw there was some footage of the Western Front. And as you saw that it ran about 700 kilometres of trenches that were dug. And I really want to talk today about our mindsets. We know our theme for the year is about fighting the good fight of faith. And we know that it's the battle for truth. We know we have an enemy, the father of lies. The devil's described as in the Bible. And wants us to believe his lies, wants us to have the wrong way of thinking, the wrong mindsets, and get people stuck in their lives, get stuck in their thinking, stuck in their behaviours. But God doesn't want us to live such a life as that. He came for us to have abundant life, and I want to talk about how we can live that abundant life. So we're talking about the trenches and in the war in World War I, pretty horrible life to be stuck in the trenches, the mud and the water and the diseases that were rife. If somebody was to fall, get shot and die, they just leave them there. They didn't have the luxury of being able to bury people. The disease, the rife, all of the things that they faced, the hardship, the constant shelling from the enemy and constantly being bombarded. And there was something called shell shock, which is a pretty horrible thing. If you've actually seen someone who really has shell shock, it's a horrible, horrible thing. And so people that were subjected to this horrible trauma in the trenches, lined up sometimes only 100 metres apart, and sometimes so close, only 15 metres apart, they could actually lob grenades at each other. But for 700 kilometres, and what a depressing thing that was for them to be deadlocked, entrenched in these trenches for that war. But the reason why I'm talking about that this morning is because I actually see some people who end up in their lives, they end up adopting that kind of mindset where they feel that everything is against them. They feel that they're besieged and really all they can do is just sort of dig in. And it seems like everything is against them, everything overwhelming them, things surrounding them on all sides. And people can get stuck like that. And the sad thing is that even some Christians get stuck in that kind of besieged mindset. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4:8, he says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed." We're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. And sometimes you might have felt like that. You might feel like everything is sort of coming against you and everything seems to be going wrong, that you're hard pressed on every side. And Paul even experienced that. We said we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. But unfortunately, some people feel like they're hard pressed on every side and crushed. And people adopt this mindset where they're entrenched in their thinking. And whenever they confront problems, rather than taking a step forward and moving forward, that they dig just a little bit deeper. And you find people that really struggle in relationships because of the things that have hurt them, the things that have impacted them. They just dig just a little bit deeper, trying to defend themselves, trying to protect themselves, trying to keep themselves safe. And the very things that they use to try to protect themselves are the very things that destroy them. So rather than that trench being a thing of protection, it actually becomes like a grave to them. And people can get this mindset, a besieged mindset. Everything is against me. And that song is an old hymn. It's over 100 years old. "Hold the fort until I'm coming." What a sad hymn that is. What a sad thing that is. We've even been called to hold the fort. We've been told to take ground. We've been told to live in victory, not been holding on. Here I am huddling in fear in this little trench, the shells going off, the enemy just across no man's land. And here I am holding on, waiting for my salvation where Jesus will come back and he will come back and he will save us. But some people think that's what life is. And the sad thing about trench warfare is that they thought that's what warfare was. It's this thing where you're just deadlocked, right, from one coast to the mountains, all the way across, and then they're just living there in this horrendous conditions, not making any ground. Maybe sometimes they'll charge over the walls at incredible costs, where in one couple of hour period, where 60,000 people die in 2 hours, where they rushing across into the machine guns and just heartless and horrible destruction. And that was warfare. So rather than just the high cost of that, they just dig in and they don't go anywhere. And some people in life, they get there where they just dig in and they don't go anywhere in life. Too afraid to take a step forward, too afraid to move out, trying to feel safe and secure, but all the time knowing that there's enemies that seem to be crushing them and stuck in that. People get stuck in sameness in their lives. Every day just seems the same, another day, another dollar. Everything just seems to be the same, going through the motions, and that's a part of that entrenching mindset. And eventually you hear people that spiral into depression, because if you dig this trench deep enough, if you just keep digging it, and you're doing it because you think it's going to protect you, it's going to keep you safe, if you dig it deep enough, you find that there you are, here I am, and I'm in this dark pit of despair and depression, and I've put myself in this place. Now, I'm not talking about chemical things. People can be chemically affected. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking where we put ourselves with a mindset where you're so fixated on all of the things that are happening and could go wrong and all the things that are around us that we end up digging ourselves into this mindset, into an entrenched mindset, and always looking for the other next thing that's going to go wrong. Have you ever heard the saying that bad things come in threes? Yeah, that's one of the devil's greatest hits. Because if one thing goes wrong, two things go wrong. So what do? You look for the third thing. You look for something to go wrong. Of course, if you're looking, if your focus is on negative, if your mindset is I'm on besiege, everything's against me, all of this problem's overwhelming me, this tide that's against me, and if you're thinking and looking for problems, I tell you, you will find them everywhere. If you're looking for things to find wrong, you'll find them everywhere. And people, where they get in that mindset, is everything is negative. It's a beautiful sunny day. Oh no, I'm going to get burnt again. The flowers are blooming. Oh, a bee will come and sting me. Like everything is switched. It gets perverted thinking when we get into this mindset where we're hard pressed on every side, but we end up being crushed. Paul knew what it was like. Yeah, we all go through problems and things, but to make sure that we don't get into this mentality where we're just holding on. Oh, I made it through another day, thank God. And we wake up the next morning, Lord, just help me get through this day. Now, there are times and seasons in life. There is winters in life. We know that. There are times where we go through dark times. It's a part of life. But I'm not talking about, because when you got to go through those times, we all go through times where we go through struggles and things that we can't explain and understand, and it just seems like a lost place. But we go through those things, and God has called us to live on the mountain, not to be down in the valley. But I'm talking about the people that don't just go through, they just dig a hole there in that place. And that now becomes a definition of their life, of who they are. This is who I am. I'm someone that has all these problems one after another, and they just always seem to be there. And if you are that kind of person that all you ever see is problems and struggles and whatever, you've dug yourself a trench. You've begun to get into this entrenched mindset, and it's a sad and horrible place to be in. And you end up with just surviving, not living. Remember, Jesus said, I came to give you life, abundant life. But if you're just surviving, just trying to hang on through one crisis to the next one, and there's another crisis, and that one's finished, oh, here comes another one. And that's not the way that the Lord wants us to live. So the thing about trench warfare, it really was a war of attrition. They lost so many casualties, died not because someone shot them or because a shell blew them up. It's because of illness and sickness and just mental exhaustion and just this wearing down. It's a war of attrition. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to wear you down, get you yourself, and I'm talking about the enemy, I'm talking about the enemy, the devil. If he can just wear you down so that you're not someone who's actually fighting the good fight of faith, you're not actually taking, instead of taking a step, you dig a trench every time something happens, then you'll find that you're going to be overwhelmed, that things will overwhelm you emotionally, and you will get worn down. You can only take so much. We all can only take so much. Doesn't matter how good or strong we are, we've all got a limit. And if we have that entrenched mentality, eventually you get worn down. And that's what God doesn't want us to be like that. And I believe there's people here this morning that describes your life. That's true. That you seem to just go from one thing to another, and you just seem to get stuck in it. You try to protect yourself, but the things that you try to protect yourself actually makes a barrier for relationship with others, relationship with God, and you get stuck in this mindset of thinking, well, what's going to go wrong next? What's the next thing that's going to happen my way? Is this my life? My whole life has just been hard-pressed on every side, totally living my life under siege from one problem to another and a never-ending battle. No, that's not the life that Christ has for us. But some people, sadly, that defines them. And if they're honest, they're not taking any ground in life. They're not growing as a person. They're not growing even in the things of God. They're not actually progressing in their life. They're just stuck. And they feel like all of this stuff, and God wants to break us out of that mentality, that we don't dig a hole, that we take a step when we go through things, that we begin to take ground and to live our lives in such a way as that. So many of you heard of Monash. You would have heard of Monash. There's Monash Hospital, Monash University, used to be called the Monash Freeway, and I think there's a city of Monash, I think, even perhaps. But Monash, John Monash, he was the commander of the Australian Army. He became the commander in 1918. In fact, he was one of the most famous generals who have ever lived, was John Monash. He was just born up in Dudley Street, not too far away from here. He's got medals from most of the nations of the world, gave him their highest military possible honours that they could give, were given to this man, John Monash. The thing about John Monash is that when he saw the mentality that they were locked into, that this is my trench, there's the enemy there, and I'm just stuck. This is where I am. I'm deadlocked. He actually changed the way of thinking. John Monash, he came up with some tactics involving concentration of forces, and one particular battle was a landmark battle which broke this mentality open in July the 4th of 1918 in a place called Hamel or La Hamel in France, and they wanted to take some ground there. But the normal doctrine of the day or of the philosophy of the day was the cost of taking any ground was so traumatic, so painful. It's better to stay where I am because it's just too painful to go forward. And some people feel like that, too painful to open my heart to others in relationship, too painful. And so, but John Monash, he challenged that. He challenged that thinking. And by using his tactics, they took, and he said, this is going to take us 90 minutes to take this ground. And they laughed at him. They said, this is going to take weeks at very best, but most this is going to take many, many months to do that. Anyway, he used these tactics that he was given. He made up. And they took this incredible amount of ground. They took in 93 minutes, took 93 minutes, not 90 minutes, as he said. They took this incredible amount of ground, which was before was inconceivable under what the doctrine of warfare was, this entrenched mode, that just doesn't happen. And then they used his philosophies later on. And again, in 150 minutes, they took what had taken normally 3 or 4 years of incredible loss to do. There was something that changed in the mentality. And because of his tactics, this Australian who changed the face of World War I and basically saw that whole Western Front broken open, there was a change of thinking. Something changed. And something needs to change with us. If we're the kind of people that we're stuck in this entrenched mindset that I've just got to keep holding on until God comes, and that every day I'm just, something needs to change. And I pray that today that God will speak something into your heart that will change the way that you think, because we're taking every thought captive under Jesus Christ. We're not buying into the father of lies who wants to keep you stuck where you are and feeling overwhelmed, and not only that you have your heart pressed on every side, but feeling crushed in the middle of it. God wants to change something within our hearts, the way that we think. The psalmist in Psalm 49 verse 5, it says this. He said, why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me? He asked that question, and that's a good question for you to ask. Why should I get stuck in that mindset, waiting for the bad things to happen? Folk just thinking, oh no, what's going to come now? What's going to hit me now? Why do we think like that? There's something that changes within our heart. Psalmist in Psalm 27, which was David, he said, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Even then I will be confident. And that's the kind of mindset that Christ wants us to have. That's the kind of mindset that we're going to live in. Even though, look, stuff is going to happen in your life. Don't let anyone tell you a fairy story that it's all going to be fine and, you know, nothing's ever going to happen. That's nonsense. You live in a sinful world, a wicked world, and stuff is going to happen. But even though those things happen, to us. Even though an army besieged me, it feels like there's a whole lot of stuff going. No, I'm not going to be fearful. Though war break against me, even then I will be confident, because there's something about a mindset on the things of God which stop us getting stuck and entrenched in our problems and in our circumstances, because there's some people who just seem to never get out of that, never move forward in their life, because they've dug such a hole that is so deep they just can't go anywhere. God wants us to change that mindset. Well, that's good. Well, how do I do that? Because the bottom line is, no one wants to live in this depressed kind of state, when this overwhelmed state where there's just everything's just the same and I just can't seem to get anywhere and I'm just looking for the next thing to happen. No one wants to live like that. No one chooses to live like that. Well, they choose if they don't know how to get out of it. And so I want to give you that choice this morning. I want to tell you how to get out of that mindset. And so you'll know that, no, I'm not going to be one who is besieged, who's entrenched in my life and my thinking, and maybe help others that maybe are in that mindset and are stuck in their life. It says in Psalm 3, this is one of the first answers on how I can actually begin to get out of this mindset. Psalm 3, verse 4 and 6, it says, I call out to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep, and I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. It's pretty dramatic, isn't it? Tens of thousands on every side. But he said, no, I'm going to have peaceful sleep. And the trouble is for people that when you're entrenched and you've dug a hole and you're just in the middle of it and you're feeling that, you don't sleep. Your brain's going 100 miles an hour. Even when you're trying to do something good, in the back of your mind there's this lingering thing that's there. Something will remind you, you're stuck. You think you're having fun, but you know that there's something there. It almost mocks us, this thing that we're there. But he calls out to the Lord. And that's got to be our starting point, is to cry out to God. And the promise that he hears me, we heard that already this morning spoken to us. To begin to cry out to God. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then this morning I encourage you to cry out to God. Cry out to him with all that you are. You might not understand everything. You might not know very much, but you cry out to God. And the promise is that he hears us. And he says, I will not fear. See, fear is the crippling thing that for people that are in that situation. And as I said, I mentioned people that have been shell-shocked. It's physically, mentally, emotionally, a horrible, horrible thing. Just revolting terror of that people went through. But there comes a point with some people that they become a little bit like that. And they need something to help them. They need to be able to get out of that and to cry out to the Lord. That's the beginning of freedom. The beginning is starting to climb out of what you're in. I'm not saying that immediately everything's going to change, by the way. Just, I cry out to the Lord and let all the enemies run away from me. Well, they may, but they might not. The situation still might be the same. But the difference is the difference is in you. And that's what I'm talking about. Yes, God can change situations and circumstances, but he will change you before he will change those things. And he is gracious. Sometimes he just changes those things anyway. Most of the way that God works, he does something within us before the things outside change around us. He deals with internals before the externals become manifest within our lives. And so I cry out to the Lord, and the Lord hears me. And I'm fearful, even though all this stuff, see, fear grips so many people, because you had enough shells falling on you. You're worried that one day one of these shells is going to take you out. Enemy sniping, and maybe one day he's going to take me out. Fear is such an insidious thing that grips people's lives. And people have fear in their life and they don't realize it. Some people don't even want to acknowledge it. It is a horrible, insidious thing that when people get into that mindset of all my problems and everything overwhelming, fear begins to rise its ugly head and people begin to see in everything potential for failure, potential for pain, potential for trauma in every situation, and that's a sad place. But the beginning point is to begin to cry out to God. And the psalmist in Psalm 27 goes on and it says this, and this is another key thing to help us in our circumstances in life. It says, one thing I ask from the Lord. So I've cried out to God. The one thing I ask you from the Lord, and this is only do I seek. So if I had one thing I could get from God, just one thing, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple in the gathering of the saints. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe. See, people make a trench in their own self trying to get safe, trying to protect themselves. But only the Lord is the one who will keep us safe. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and I will make music to the Lord. We've already talked about worship and how powerful it is. But there's something about when you come into the presence of God, and when then you lift your heart, you've surrendered your life to Christ. And when you begin to praise him and you begin to worship him with all that you are, suddenly you begin to realize that, hang on, Jesus Christ, he is the rock, and I'm standing on the rock of Jesus Christ, and I'm actually higher than the situations of things that are around me, the things that seem to be besieging me and surrounding me on every side. Something begins to change in my own heart and spirit. The Lord lifts me up above those things. But I'm amazed that sometimes when people are struggling, how they don't go to church. I'm amazed by that. I'm going through a hard time, so I'm not going to go to church. Have you ever had anyone saying, look, I was really sick, so I didn't go to the doctor. I was just too sick to go to the doctor. You know, I really needed an operation so badly, but I didn't go to the hospital. It's crazy, isn't it? Somebody said that to you, oh, look, I was feeling really sick, so I didn't go to the doctor. You think, then you're crazy. If you're feeling really sick, go to the doctor. Whatever they do, go. And yet some people, they're struggling and they're entrenched in circumstances and they don't go to church. How crazy is that? How silly, foolish is that? It's when we're worshiping the Lord in the presence of God, our heart is lifted up. And we begin to see things like they really are, not the way that the devil wants you to see, that you're stuck in a hole and this is your life and you're just going to get this and this and this and this. You're saying, hang on a minute. The Lord actually has lifted me up. And these things that are around me, these problems, these circumstances, these situations, they don't define who I am. I am not the sum total of my problems and the things that are against me. I'm actually a child of the living God. And I stand on the name of Jesus Christ. I stand on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And I'm actually above those things. And when I'm in the house of God and I'm worshiping God and I'm lifting him up and honoring him, my heart begins to soar. And I find that I'm beginning to get pulled out of this trench. The sad thing is that when people don't do that and they don't go to church, or they go to church and they just go to sleep. But how powerful it is. We cry out to God, and in the presence of God, we begin to see ourselves lifted above the circumstances of our life. And this is the kind of people that God wants us to be and has made us to be. It says in Psalm 112, 7 and 8, it says this, they will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. How we long for safety. That's the only reason why we built a trench in the first place. We tried to make ourselves safe and protect ourselves, and it became a grave, not something that protected us. But it says, their hearts are secure. They have no fear. In the end, they will look on in triumph of their foes. They have no fear because they know God's with them, that God's on their side. God is helping them. No fear of bad news. You know, you get an envelope in the mail. What do you think? Oh, no, it's a $1,000 bill. Not a money bill. We don't have those. A bill they have to pay. What do you think? You know, the phone rings late in the middle of the night. You're thinking someone's ringing you up with good news. What is it? What's your thoughts? What are your mindset? Are you expecting good news or are you expecting bad news? Are you afraid of what might happen to you? What might happen to your children? What might happen to your family? What might happen? Where is your mindset? What's your mindset? Are you in a trench mentality where you immediately think everything's going to go bad? Because the devil wants to keep you in that place of fear, and because you're no threat to him. Someone hiding in a hole is no threat to the kingdom of darkness. If you're hiding in a hole, you're no threat to him. He'd love to keep you there. But we have no fear of bad news, because when we know our Lord Jesus Christ, we have him in our life. And it's not just a good feeling when we come to church on a Sunday morning. It's the rock that keeps us going every single day, and not just surviving, but learning to actually live in victory and how to actually take ground, actually move forward. Even when everything seems to be against us, that we can take that ground. And so we want to have that life without fear. God's called us to live without fear. That's the kind of people that we want to be. We don't want to be stuck in entrenched and worried and fearful of everything. And my heart goes out to people that get stuck in that. Some people get lost in that, and I'm not judging them, because any of us, if we take our eyes off the Lord and we just focus on our problems, we're digging away. We're just digging and digging, and instead of taking a step, we just dig a ditch. And sometimes we can all do that. And maybe today you're in that situation, you're stuck. That when you go to sleep at night, your brain is just thinking of all these problems. If you're honest, you don't really sleep too well because you're just thinking about all the stuff. Just never it seems to be ending. Then you have a problem. You need something to change within your heart, because that's not the way that God has made you to be. He doesn't want you to be in that fearful place. He says, I lay down and I sleep. I wake up because the Lord sustains me. I'm not going to fear. Yeah, there's problems around me, but I'm not going to be fearful in that attitude. No fear of bad news. Hearts are steadfast, confident, trusting in the Lord. Security within our heart, knowing that God is going to come through for me. That's where he wants us to be. One of the things that really breaks us out of this mindset, this entrenched mindset, thinking that, oh, this is my life now and I'm just going to hold on until he comes. One of the things that breaks us out of that is a clear word from the Lord into your heart. I pray this morning that for some of you, to this message this morning is a clear word from God into your heart, that this will be a catalyst for you to help you break out of that mindset, if that's something that you're struggling with. A word of the Lord. A word of the Lord can come and you're just reading your Bible. That's why it's so important to be reading, because you're reading and God actually, you read something, goes, woof, oh, bing, the light comes on. And you suddenly realize, I don't have to live in this hole anymore of despair and fear and worry, and all I ever do is worry about and anxious about everything. The word of the Lord can come to you. Read your word, read your Bible, allow the Lord to speak to you in that way. It can come in a sermon on a Sunday. It can come. So get into the house of God and listen to the word of God being preached. And I pray, as I said today, that for some, this is the word, this is a catalyst that's going to get you to climb out of that ditch and begin to see you take the ground that God wants you to take. But a word of God in prayer, you know, a wonderful word of prayer, and God will give you a word. We had a prayer meeting Friday night, and I praise God for the faithful people in this church who gather to pray and have a heart for God and his kingdom and understand prayer. And just in the midst of that, the Lord just gave me a vision. And actually, this probably explains probably a little bit of that trench mentality as well. Now I think of it. But this vision was, is I just saw, it's like a figure, if you like, a man or whatever, somebody just behind this table. And this table, it's all just decked out in all this incredible banquet. Amazing amount of food, of everything you can think of. And a little girl, maybe 9, 10 or so, and she comes up, looks at this table in this vision, and she's looking at all this stuff that's laid out in front of her, and all she does is put out her hand and says, I've got a sore finger. And I'm thinking, okay, then the scene changed. A similar sort of look at the table, and it's got all these jewels. You know, you see the pirate's treasure, you see the jewels and all that sort of stuff all laid out in front. And again, this person couldn't really see or tell who they really were, but somebody there in this vision standing behind it, and I'm just amazed by what I'm seeing on this table. And this little girl, again, she comes up and she's looking at the table. She puts her hand and says, I've got a sore finger. I'm thinking, then finally it changed. There was no table this time. There was just this person that was sort of there, just aware of this person that was there. And it was like an armory. There was like a shield and some swords and armor and all this stuff there, and all shiny new, and just the sense that I had, it's like if this stuff was going to actually actually getting hold of this stuff would change everything in this girl's life. The little girl just stands there again and stands and puts her hand and says, I've got a sore finger. And just reflecting on that, how much are we like that as Christians? God has given us absolutely everything that we need for life and for godliness. His word says that. All of the riches of the inheritance in the saints that we have. We have the armor of God. We have the weapons we've been talking about. We've been talking about the name of Jesus, the power of the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us. We've been talking about the power of prayer and worship and the word of God and all of those things. And yet we stand there and we say, I've got a sore finger. Now, a little child, you can forgive them for that. Because a little child, you hurt your little pinky when you're a little child. Man, this pinky's my life. It really hurts when you're a little child. But for a grown man, if you had a grown man there going around telling everyone, oh, I'm a sore pinky, like it doesn't really wash, does it, so well. That's why we've got a growing God, because sometimes we don't grow and we stay as little children and we've got all the wealth and everything that God has for us and we're obsessed with our little pinky. And God is saying, come on, we've got to grow up, people. Grow up and see what I've given you. Actually, the Apostle Paul, he talks about, he says, our light and momentary troubles. That's what he calls all of our traumas in life, all the things that are going on wrong, everything that seems to surround us. He says, our light and momentary troubles, which are actually getting for us a glory which far outweighs them all of the things. He puts it in the right context. And as Christians, part of having that right mindset is getting things in the right context. Seeing what you have in Christ, not what you don't have. If you're always thinking about what is missing or what I don't have, you're in a hole, you're in that trench. When you start thinking about what you have in Jesus Christ, the hope that you have, the inheritance of eternal life that you have in Jesus, you start thinking about that, all of a sudden you realize it is just a pinky, it is just a sore little finger, and I can live with that. I'm man enough to cope with a little paper cut on my finger. I can handle that, the things of life, and we've got our eyes focused in the right way. But when you're down in the trench, you're down in there, it's like this little paper cut's going to kill you. And you're going to bleed to death from it. But we just change our perspective, the way that we look at things. Now, I'm not trivializing the bad things that we go through in life. We go through some pretty horrific things in life. Please don't think I'm making light of that. When you're going through traumatic things, they're traumatic things. It's true, and I'm not making light of those things. But it's our mindset is that, do I let that thing define who I am? No, I don't. I'll let Christ define who I am. And the word of the Lord is so important. Deuteronomy 1, 5 and 7, this is the children of Israel. They needed a word because they were getting stuck where they were. They were starting to fortify where they were. They were starting to make this camp pretty cozy where they were. And the Lord, our God, said to us at Horeb, you've stayed long enough on this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites to the enemy who are just waiting for you. Stop, get out of the camp. And now start taking some ground, advance into that country. Go into all the neighboring peoples in Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Geb and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. And so the word of the Lord came to them and said, guys, you've been living in this trench thing too long. You've been stuck where you are long enough. Now is the time to make that choice and decision and say, yeah, this is not going to be who I am. This is not who God has made me to be. And I'm going to break out of that mindset, that mentality, and I'm actually going to start to move into the enemy's territory. I'm going to start pushing him back. I'm going to start seeing victories won in my life. And we've talked about the offensive weapons and things that we have already. We've talked about those kind of things that we can do. And I believe that word of God, once you have a word from God, something rises within your heart. And I trust that something rising in some of your hearts this morning saying, no, I'm not going to be cowering in a trench for the rest of my life. No way. I'm a child of the living God. And I'm going to have some of this stuff off this table, actually, and some of the riches of the inheritance in Christ. I'm going to take up this armor that God has given me and the weapons that I have, and I'm actually going to tell the enemy where to go. I'm going to push him back. He's not going to have sway in my life. He's not going to overwhelm me, make me live in despair and discouragement and fear. No way. I'm not going to allow him to do that. And even the word that was given strongly to Joshua says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen? Yes, amen. The Lord will be with you wherever you go. And the great thing about when we're down in this hole, in the trench, God's not down there pointing at you and making fun of you. He actually reaches down. In fact, that's what Jesus came. He was in the highest place. He came down to this earth. He came down as a man and walked among us. He lived among us and he died a horrible death in our place for our sin. But he came down, he got down in the mud of our life, the muck of the trenches, the smell, the disease, the decay. Jesus actually came down into all of that and he picks us up and he lifts us out of that situation. If you haven't given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ this day, do that. So Lord, I don't want to live down there. I want to have Jesus accept him in my life. So he picks me up out of the mess of the sin, the muck of my life, and he lifts me out and he puts me in a wide open space into the plans and purposes of God. And if we're in there, if we've just done that, we didn't mean to, we've just allowed things to get to us, we've just taken our eyes off the ball, we've just been overwhelmed and our emotions have become the things that dictate who we are rather than the Spirit of God. If we're down in that place, God doesn't come at us with a stick to hit us, but he'll put a hand down and say, come on, get out of that. Time to get up. Time to get out of that trench. Time to start putting hell under siege, because that's the way it's supposed to be. We as Christians are not supposed to be the ones carrying in the trenches. The devil is the one who's supposed to be carrying in his trenches. That's why I've called this hell under siege, that we begin to realize who we are, that we have no fear in our lives, and we start taking ground. And the Lord helps us with that. 2 Samuel 22:3 says, with your help I can advance against a troop. With my God I can scale a wall. Doesn't matter how deep the pit is. With God's help I'm going to get out of this mindset of everything's going to destroy me. This is my life. This is who I am. No, I'm going to grab a hold of God and I'm going to begin to take some ground in my life. Taking ground in your life. It might mean a number of things, taking ground in your life. It might mean healing of relationships. It might actually learning to make relationships, learning what friendship really is, learning how to really relate with other people. And rather than building this little wall around you, which becomes a tomb and then you're stuck down this hole somewhere, it's beginning to reach out to people. It's beginning to show love and grace. It's learning to not to be so self-centered and selfish that we begin to look out for other people and have a heart for others and to reach out for them. We begin to take ground. Because remember, the ground that the enemy has, he doesn't want people in relationship with God. And he hates people having a relationship with one another. You want to take some ground? Then you maybe need to forgive someone. You need to maybe build a bridge with someone. You maybe need to build relationships with people. But above all, have the relationship with God. That's the ground that is most precious, that we come into relationship with Jesus Christ. Psalm 118:10 says, all the nations surrounded me. It's a pretty heavy deal. All the nations surrounding me. But in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees. They were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. What a place of victory that in. Because some people, when we talk about victory, say, well, that's fine. You're talking about victory, I'm in a hole. Well, get out of the hole. Time to rise up. Time to change the way that you think. Everything's going to go wrong. Everything's bad. I'm losing. I'm a failure. I'm hopeless. I'm this. I'm that or whatever. Break out of that. Be the child of God that he's called you to be. Stand in that victory. And when the enemy comes against you, you just cut him down. Enemy self-doubt begins to come in. Fear tries to rise up. No, in the name of Jesus, we talked about that last, in the name of fear, you to be gone from me. I'm not having that nonsense. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to sleep really well every night. Sleep really well every night. I'm going to have peace within my heart. And the enemy tries to come against me. The lies of the devil, when I talk about the enemy, we're talking about the devil and his lying spirit, the lies that he brings, telling you you're hopeless, useless, worthless, all that rubbish. No. Just tell it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Stuff all happening. And as I said, stuff will happen in life. But it's not what happens to you, it's what happens in you that is so important. When stuff happens to you, what happens in you? Do you rise above it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you allow God to help you not only just get through it, but you come through actually better than before? You come through a better person in that. And there's a promise of victory. Joshua 10 says this. 10:24-25 says, when they had brought the kings to Joshua, he summoned all the men of Israel and said to the army commanders who had come with him, come here and put your feet on the necks of these kings. So they came forward and placed the feet on their necks, ultimate humiliation to the enemy. And Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. This is what the Lord will do for all the enemies you're going to fight. What a wonderful promise of victory that you have. That if you actually begin to change your mindset, hear the word of the Lord, get out of that, break out of that, change that mindset. Begin to call out to God and say, Lord, I'm just crying out to you now, Lord, that you'll help me. And you begin to worship the Lord with all of your heart, and you begin to be lifted up and stand upon that rock and see your enemies are just down here somewhere. Something changes within you. And once you stand in that place, the enemy messes with you, and the enemy will still try to mess with you, but you just say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Allow God to do something awesome in your life. Because it's the shoe's supposed to be on the other foot. It's not that you're there with this tide of wickedness against you, the world against you, people against you, things against you, circumstances against you, like the gates of hell itself are all arrayed against you. And there you are, this valiant little soldier sitting in your little hole there, trembling, holding on to God to come. That's not the picture that it's supposed to be. In fact, the picture in the scripture is opposite of that. Matthew 16:18, this is what Jesus says. This is a promise that Jesus says. He says, I tell you that you, Peter, are on this rock. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Now, if there's a battle going on, you've got a fortress here and you've got an army there, and you talk about the gates. The army isn't here and the gates have got up and the whole fortress and the gates as well, and they're all coming running after the army. It doesn't work that way. The gates stay where they are. What comes? But we got it the other way around. We think we're here and we've got the hordes of hell coming against us and we're under siege and we're just holding on. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. The enemy's coming. That's the wrong picture. The picture is that the army of God, which we're a part of, when we became a Christian, we no longer were Satan's puppet and plaything, but we became a son and daughter of the living God. We come and we are right up pressing against the gates of hell. And we're pushing back the work of darkness. We're seeing people set free and come to Christ, come out of his prison, and come out of the darkness and come to know him. And that's the picture. That's the mentality that Christ wants us to have. That's the victorious mindset that Jesus wants us to live in. And if you're there, you'll know you're pushing back the enemy and you're right against the gates because you're ready to plunder hell so that we can populate heaven, and you're pushing forward in the things of God. And it doesn't matter what comes your way. You know, I'm focused on my Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not overcome and I'm not overwhelmed. Man, we become dangerous. Dangerous for the enemy rather than the cowering one in the corner. And my prayer this morning is that if you've been one that's how you've seen your life. I'm just holding on. It's another day. Lord, get me through today. Please, Lord, help me get through this day. I pray that something will change within your spirit this day, that this will be the word of the Lord for you today, that you say, no, I'm not going to live like that. I'm not going to, every time I face a situation, every time a difficulty or a struggle comes, I'm actually going to take a step. I'm not going to dig a ditch. I'm going to take a step and something else, because I'm going to go forward in the name of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, eventually we will see those things and be dealt with. But again, it's what God does within me before what he does out there. We just want him to do something out there, and we just want to still live in fear and bondage. God wants to do it in you before he'll do it out there. But he will do it out there. He will bring the victory. His promise is that for each and every one of us. So let's stand and pray this morning. I want to pray that if you're someone that you're living in this trench mentality and that God just wants to break you out of that this morning, maybe this is the word that you need to break you out of that. Not going to live in fear. Not going to struggle sleeping because I'm worried about all these problems and all the things that could be and whatever else. And no. I'm going to trust in my Lord with all my heart. And I'm going to stand and I'm going to take ground in Jesus' name. I'm going to build relationship with people, build relationship with God. And just showing the love of God, as we said, is the ultimate warfare that we can do, is just showing the love of God. If you've come here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, then this is your moment to come. As I give an invitation in a moment for people to walk out the front, have the courage to do that. Take a step. Come out the front. And say, I need Jesus in my life. I don't want to live in a trench. I don't want to live in a hole. I don't want to live in fear and bondage and just struggle after struggle all the time. I want to know what it is to go through those things and not to be burnt or buried by them. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, for people here today, Lord, that you just touch your life. Lord, anyone that doesn't know you this day, Lord, they will come into the most holy presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They'll give their heart to you. And Father, if there's anyone here that is stuck, Father, they just need the hand up. They need you just to reach down and lift them up. Father, I pray as they come this day, Lord, that they're going to come out of that place of despair and darkness, Father. Lord, that you lift them up and bring them into your glorious light, Lord, that your love will be upon them. So, Father, I just pray that now, Lord, for every one of us, Father, let us not be in that trench mentality, Father. But, Lord, let us see us, Lord, just taking ground in Jesus' name, moving forward, growing in life, Lord, being the people that you want us to be, Father. I pray that in Jesus' name.